Blue skies, cool temperatures, some rain coming. My lawn is green. Here's Bob. I look over at the screen here, and I only have one phone line open right now. You can call in 312-981-7200. How are you, Bob Bertog?
Doing well, John. How are you this week?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. My lawn looks good, but I can see where the work is I need to do. I got weeds coming in I don't like, and I worry about the timing and what to do about all of this stuff. But what's your wisdom for us to start the show today?
Well, you got your work ahead of you, and it's going to warm up a little bit, and that stuff's going to really start taking off, especially the weeds. But this is the time of year. Get down your first application of fertilizer and rake up your grass. Get rid of the dead patches of grass and top dress and seed. And just a reminder, if you are going to seed, to not use a pre-emergent crabgrass control, because the grass seed will not germinate if you do that.
Okay. 312-981-7200. You may have a question for our guest. How about you, Rick? You're on WGN. How can we help you, Rick?
Well, he just basically touched on a part of my question. I had put down my pre-emergent crabgrass fertilizer about 2 weeks ago, and then yesterday I had my lawn aerated. I've got some bare spots from the dog that I would like to seed. How long am I going to have to wait before I can actually, put a little dirt and seed down to let that, so it doesn't affect the, the germination from the fertilizer?
It depends on which pre-emergent that product they used, but they can the Wilag
is granular,
but it's 4 to 8 weeks depending on the application rate they put it down at.
It's at least four weeks. True green. Okay, so give it about a month and a half probably then before I try to put any seed down.
Yeah, I would, because it won't germinate with that pre-emergent down.
That's going to kill you, isn't it, Rick? You really want to get out there and do that, don't you, Rick?
You know what? I'm retired. I can wait. So, I just want to make sure I don't waste my time. That's all.
Well, I understand that, too. I wonder sometimes. I've got these spots where there was that, whatever it was that was green, maybe it was some kind of crabgrass or whatever, and now it's just white and dead. And I've got spots of these all throughout my yard. So I've been kind of going through and just pulling those out, Bob. What are those? Any idea?
Well, it could still be like a different type of grass.
I think it might be. Like, yeah, but I don't like it.
Well, then once it gets green, go ahead and hit it with a non-selective herbicide and replace it. Yeah. If it's really a completely different grass and it just looks completely out of character in the yard, go ahead and get rid of it.
Well, it's got long arms that sort of go under the rest of the grass, and then it populates and strangles some of the grass. So I've just been pulling it out by the roots and the arms and trying to eradicate it. Now I've got these little holes in my yard. So I guess get a little topsoil and some grass seed and fill in those spots. Is that the idea?
Yeah. If it's a creeping weed and it looks like a grass blade, it's probably what's called nimble will, which is one of those hard-to-control ones. It's like a creeping Charlie. So you probably are better off hitting it with a non-selective and because it'll translocate down into the roots then and then eradicate the plant completely. Where when you're just cutting it out and you think you're pulling it out, but you're really just cutting it off at the root.
Oh, great. All right, let's talk to Ed. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I'm on my way to the big box store as we speak to get some topsoil, and I've read that infilling some ruts and some low spots in my lawn, I should be using like a sand mix. Is that true?
Well, you can. The sand helps break up the soil, but it's not imperative. We use a topsoil compost sand mix, and just because it's a lot easier to work with.
But doesn't that help it level it out too, Bob?
It does, because what it does, you know how like topsoil, when it becomes clumpy. So when there's sand in there, that kind of acts like a knife as it rakes through it to help level it out.
So what's the ratio you like for compost, sand, and soil?
Probably 60% topsoil, 30% compost, and only 10% sand.
How's that sound there for you, Mark or Ed?
Yeah, it sounds great. I'm getting ready to go pick it up, so that's fantastic. And you did answer another question, which my lawn got pre-emergent on it about a week ago, so I should hold off on the seed anyway then, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Bob last week said he doesn't even care that much about what kind of sand you get, right, Bob?
Yeah, it's just basically, its function is to help level out the soil and break up the little mini clumps.
We're talking to Bob Hertog. He's out of Wheeling. He's the president of the Hertog Landscape Company. Bob, can you answer more questions for us?
Sure can. I'll do my best.
If I put down a pre-emergent 2 weeks ago, but then I top dressed with about 1.5 inches of soil, will it stop the germination?
Well, actually, if you have 1.5 inches of soil, the seed that's at the top will germinate. But unfortunately, when those roots get down into this area where you've put the pre-emergent, it's going to come in contact with that herbicide, and it's going to take it up, and it's going to probably kill itself.
What about preen in flower beds?
Again, that's just a pre-emergent, and if you're putting it in flower beds, make sure you don't plan on planting any seeds. You're planting established cuttings or, you know, like annual flowers where it's not coming from seed.
Hey, I put those fertilizer spikes in my yard around my trees last weekend, Bob. What do you think of that?
It's not going to hurt the trees. They definitely need the fertilizer this year.
Yeah.
We talked about the water last week, too.
And then I've been watering that. And you want us to water these evergreens, these boxwoods, the shrubs, the trees, everything, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They're definitely coming. If when it warms up, they're going to be looking for a lot of water.
How about this? Jim on line 3, you're on WGN with Bob Hertog. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering how often I should rake my lawn with a thatching rake. Is every year too often?
Yes. You should only actually dethatch the lawn with a power raker if it needs it. And a lawn, actually, it's good to have like up to 1/2 inch of thatch because it helps protect the crown of the plant and it holds it, it keeps the soil temperature constant and it holds nutrients. So what you want to do is just take a knife, like a kitchen knife or a serrated knife, and cut out like a piece of pie, and then you'll see the profile of the turfs. First the turf, then the thatch, then the soil, and take a look at how thick that thatch layer is. If a little bit of thatch is good.
So you wanted 1/2 inch to be there, Bob?
Once it gets to more than 1/2 inch, yeah, then you got problems, and you're harboring areas for fungus and for insects and stuff. So, yeah, just...
But you don't want it squeaky clean either, do you?
No, because that exposes the crown of the plant, where if we get in, let's just say we get right into a hot spell right after spring, well, now you've got nothing protecting the crown of those plants, and they're just going to sit there and bake.
Okay. Jim, I hope that helps. What about you, Barbara? You're on WGN. Go ahead, Barb.
Yes, English ivy all around the house and all brown. And it's very healthy usually and turning green by now, very green.
Are the leaves still attached to the vine?
Yes.
Well, that's not a good sign because if it didn't defoliate in the fall, something happened at the end of last season. Now, I can only speculate maybe it got in touch with the herbicide. But the fact,
no.
So what you can do is go ahead and scratch the surface of the bark on the vine itself and see if there's any green underneath there. If it's green, the plant's still alive. If it's not, and all you see is the white wood or it's discolored, it could be dead. But without seeing it, my speculation is the fact that it's still holding its leaves, there was something that happened last fall.
Sorry about that, Barbara. I'm going to go to Dave now. You're on WGN with Bob Hertog. Go ahead, Dave.
Good afternoon, guys. Question on grass cutting. Assuming I cut my grass once a week, possibly twice when it's really going, is it best to bag it every time, or should you mulch it and bag it or alternate, or what's going on with that?
We use what's called the 1/3 rule, where you only want to cut off, you don't want to cut off any more than 1/3 of the grass blade. So if you're using that as a measure, it's go ahead and let the clippings recycle, because you have to remember that a grass blade is more than 50% water. So you're actually putting that water and nutrients right back into it. Now, if you've let the grass grow for a couple of weeks and it's, you know, 4 or 5 inches long, then you're going to want to bag it, because otherwise it'll go back to what the last caller talked about. That'll just sit there and increase your thatch layer.
But when the grass clippings, then that 1/3 inch or 1/3 of the plant is sitting on the lawn, it looks like it's not as pretty. A lot of us want to hoover that up and get that lawn as pretty and clean as we can, Bob.
And you can bag every week. There's nothing that says you can't do that. But, you know, we're trying to be sustainable and not fill the landfills with waste. And it will, the you won't notice the clippings, especially if you're doing it twice a week. You really won't notice unless you're up close to it.
Can I transplant my lilacs and hydrangeas now?
The lilacs are going to be sensitive because they're just about to start flowering, and they're going to spend all their energy on
producing
those flowers. Right. And so if you go ahead and try and transplant it, now you're cutting roots that are saying, okay, now I gotta push new roots into the soil, and now you're asking me to flower and then reset buds for next year. Probably either wait until they're completely done flowering and the blooms fade, or wait till fall. I wouldn't do it when they're just about to flower.
That's the lilacs you're talking about?
Yes.
What about the hydrangea?
They're pretty hardy. They'll probably be able to take a transplant right now.
Please ask how and when a hydrangea tree should be trimmed.
Depends on the variety. If it's like a hydrangea on a standard, you can cut back the blooms from last year, but you don't want to do any heavy pruning. If it's just a regular hydrangea, you can go ahead and cut those back down to live tissue.
Jane, what's your question for Bob? You're on the air.
Hi, I have two sizable patches of quack grass, and I've been told that the only way to get rid of it is do the Roundup thing. Is that true?
That's 100% correct.
Quack grass, Bobby? That's hard to get rid of stuff?
It's a grassy weed. It's real rough. It's very invasive. Some people like it, though, because you see it in parks and stuff, and it's very resilient to foot traffic. So, you know, some people don't care about it. If they have dogs, a lot of people with dogs don't mind it because it's very hardy.
What about one last question from Mike? You're on WGN with Bob. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Bob. I have Pachysandra, and I have grass coming up through it. And I also have Creeping Charlie going around.
Oh, boy. The only way to really remove it and not hurt the Pachysandra is mechanically remove it. But you can't use any type of herbicide because that will kill the plant. So do your best to mechanically remove it. Then go ahead and top dress the whole thing with leaf mulch. That'll help keep some weeds from coming back. And the Pachysandra will actually appreciate the leaf mulch.
We will podcast this conversation after the show today, a little after 2 o'clock. If you missed some of this, go to WGNradio.com, and on the John Williams page, you'll see the Bob Bertog conversation. Bob, we always appreciate your help. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, John. Have a great week.
He's the president of the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling.